When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you are more for some wrestling talk, because this is Ringside Chaos, the professional wrestling discussion segment of the Bear of Texas podcast and Paint Train Pipe Up Productions. And of course, as you all know, the greatest pro wrestling podcast in the history of the world. But ladies and gentlemen, today, this time, rather, we are going back in time, 1998 to be precise, when Kane was WWF champion. But for only a day. You know, for so long I wondered why Kane's WWF title reign in 1998 was only for a day. Well, there's a lot of answers to that, I'm sure. And I'm sure everybody's got their opinions. Well, number one, a lot of people say that Kane just did not need to be the champion at the time. He didn't need a long reign. Now, I do agree to the fact that his title reign didn't have to be long. But I feel like one day, that's just certainly not the way to go. Now, it makes sense the way it did go. I mean, I will say that. But I just feel that it should have been a little bit longer than just a day. But that's just my opinion. But understanding, you know, how the storyline went now. Now, number one, back during that time, Kane, this was not long after he made his debut interfering in that Hell in a Cell match between The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels. I mean, Kane, his character during that time, it was just at the start. I mean, the character was just absolutely over. And you have to remember that Glenn Jacobs, who of course is Kane, before that, his character was a dentist, Dr. Isaac Yankum, DDS, Doctor of Dental Science, and that gimmick totally failed. So it was good to see that Glenn Jacobs had a gimmick that not only worked immediately, but God knows, we all know how long that run went. So anyway, so this was the King of the Ring in 1998. Yeah, that's right. The very same event where the infamous Hell in a Cell match took place, where Mankind was thrown off the cage, chokeslammed through the cage. We all know the story. You know, for some time, you know, I wondered why the Hell in a Cell match was not the main event. I mean, some people say, no, it was totally the main event, but the final match of the card is the main event, and that was the WWF Championship between Stone Cold Steve Austin, who was the current champion, against Kane. And this was a first blood match. So first of all, you already understand that, well, Kane wore a mask, so, and the whole thing is to make sure his face doesn't get seen, so we all knew that Stone Cold Steve Austin could not make the guy bleed, so. So, really, you know, and the way that the match started, you know, I think, you know, even, man, you know, Mankind even got himself involved in the match. So, I mean, the way the match ended, you know, a lot of people just forget about it because it's just been so long. So the main event starts. Now, the Hell in a Cell, basically, I think, went up and down several times, you know, because Mankind, again, interfered in the match, you know, to try to help Kane. Because Mankind was a heel at the time. Mankind was feuding with The Undertaker. So there ended up being that brief alliance, I believe, with Stone Cold and The Undertaker. But then eventually it was learned that Kane and The Undertaker had been working together the entire time because they both wanted the WWF Championship. But we'll get to that. So during the match, obviously, Kane basically you know does what he does. So then Mankind gets involved. The Undertaker gets out to try to stop Mankind. So, and The Undertaker is one who basically caused this whole thing inadvertently. And what I mean by that is, because when The Undertaker attempted to make the save to Stone Cold Steve Austin, he attempted to hit Mankind with a chair, but Mankind ducked, and Stone Cold Steve Austin was actually hit with a chair instead, which caused Austin to bleed from the face. He got busted wide open. So, and then you know, after that, because I did watch the match, you know, on Peacock before this, you know, Stone Cold attempted to go after Kane with the chair, But unfortunately, the referee saw that Stone Cold Steve Austin was bleeding, so the referee has to call the match because, again, a first blood match goes like this. The first individual to be busted, I think to be either busted open or be bleeding from the mouth, is declared the loser. So basically, a first blood match goes, in order to win the match, you have to bust your opponent open. Or at least make him bleed. Like whoever, it's like draw blood, it's like whoever draws first blood, like whoever bleeds first is the loser. You don't really see much, I haven't seen really much, you know, first blood matches. The only two first blood matches that I'm fully aware of is this one, and the one in 2006 between Mr. Kennedy and The Undertaker, which of course Kennedy won when MVP came out and hit The Undertaker with a chair. So, of course, you know, ironic it has to end like that, but I don't know too much about the first blood match. Again, there's only two that have come up that come to the top of my head. So, anyway. So Kane becomes champion. Now, in the aftermath, the next day, Kane loses the belt back to Stone Cold Steve Austin. Look, I'm going to be honest. The title reign, again, you know, Kane did not need to be champion for a long time, but I just feel like him being champion for just a day, I just don't agree with it. I feel that, to be honest with you, I think Kane should have been champion for until at least the next pay-per-view. And the next pay-per-view, of course, was, I believe, Over the Edge or something like that. No, not Over the Edge. It was actually Fully Loaded in Your House, which took place in July 26th, 1998, because this event, King of the Ring, took place June 28th of 1998, which of course was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And look at that, an attendance of 17,000 people and a pay-per-view buy rate of 385,000. Not bad for during that time. So not long after Kane lost the title back to Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kane and Mankind actually became the WWF World Tag Team Champions. And they would lose the titles at the Fully Loaded In Your House to Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Undertaker, but they would soon regain the championship in a fatal four-way. Well, yeah, in a fatal four-way tag team match or a four-way dance involving the New Age Outlaws and D'Lo Brown and The Rock. So, anyway. So, yes, and obviously the current champions themselves. So, basically, it was Kane and Mankind challenging Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Undertaker alongside the New Age Outlaws and D'Lo Brown and The Rock, The Nation. Anyway, but how the story plays out, I guess it that's why they had Kane be champion for a day. But I really believe that it would have been better for Stone Cold to actually regain the belt at Fully Loaded In Your House, or maybe at SummerSlam, which was, you know, in New York. Of course, that's when Kane actually, because remember how I mentioned that Kane and Mankind regained the titles from Stone Cold and The Undertaker, but they lost them at SummerSlam after Kane abandoned Mankind. So I think this is around the time Mankind, I think, began a face turn, or I'm not entirely sure. I mean, Mankind's face turn, from what I remember that year, was at the Survivor Series of 1998. So I don't remember exactly how the whole story ended up going after that between Kane and Mankind after Kane turned on him and abandoned him during the match. I mean, it was actually a false count anywhere match as well. So the New Age Outlaws went on to win, and you know, and that was that. So, and then of course it turned out that Kane and The Undertaker were in cahoots the whole time because they both wanted the WWF Championship, and as we remember, we'll never forget the night where Kane and The Undertaker pinned Stone Cold Steve Austin simultaneously, so Stone Cold Steve Austin was no longer champion. So that was all part of the build up to the 1999 Royal Rumble. So really, at the end of the day, you know, I do agree with the fact that Kane did not. I mean, I understand how fans say, well, Kane didn't need to be champion for more than a day because he really didn't need the title. Some say he just wasn't ready for the title. I mean, everybody has their different opinions on the whole matter. Me, I just feel like he should have been champion for at least until the next pay-per-view. It definitely would have been great if he had actually lost, if he had dropped the championship back to Stone Cold Steve Austin at the 1998 SummerSlam. Now, the 1998 SummerSlam, now I'll never forget, I think, because the main event for that one was Stone Cold Steve Austin defending and retaining the championship against The Undertaker, and that was the main event. So you know what? I think that if Stone Cold Steve Austin had regained the championship in that SummerSlam of 1998, in a triple threat match involving Kane and the current champion and The Undertaker, that actually would have been huge for me. So you know what? Yeah, I think I'm solidified on the fact that I think Kane should have been champion more than just that day, but now I'm again, you know, the whole thing is just, you know, it's all just a matter of opinion, but you know, in the main event at the Fully Loaded, that next pay-per-view after the King of the Ring of 98, the main event was Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Undertaker winning the WWF World Tag Team Championship. So, and I also look at the card. I mean, the card of the Fully Loaded just doesn't even look that fun. I mean, looking at the card, the late Owen Hart defeated Ken Shamrock in that dungeon match. The Rock versus Triple H ended in a 1-1 draw. It was a 2 out of 3 falls match for the Intercontinental Championship. Triple H ended up winning the Intercontinental Championship at SummerSlam in that ladder match as well. So the Fully Loaded In Your House of 98 just looked as if it was an awful show. So, yeah, I mean, Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Undertaker defeating Mankind and Kane for the World Tag Team Championship, not too bad, but still, I feel like, you know, the main event for that one should have been Stone Cold Steve Austin attempting to get the title back from Kane, but losing after, you know what, I would say due to Mankind interfering in the match. I mean, that's the way I would have written it. Stone Cold Steve Austin unsuccessfully challenges Kane for the title at the Fully Loaded In Your House event, main event of 98. Fails to do so because Mankind got involved, and of course, Paul Bearer. So I think, you know, so really now I'm fully solidified on the fact that Kane should have dropped the belt at the 1998 SummerSlam in a triple threat match against Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Undertaker. Now, sure, if it had gone that way, then the future storylines probably would have gone different, but again, really, this is all just, you know, simply my opinion, because, look, I've been a fan of Kane since, you know, everybody knows I started watching. My first ever pro wrestling event that I watched was the 98 Survivor Series. Then, of course, January 4th, 1999 was the day I became a fully devoted, lifelong fan of wrestling. But, you know, when I saw Kane for the first time, you know, as I grew older, I wanted to watch his first matches when he emerged as Kane. Of course, his debut in interfering in the Hell in a Cell match, costing The Undertaker the match. You know, I forgot to mention that if Kane had lost this first blood match, he would have had to set himself on fire. I mean, we remember that segment. He was being interviewed by Vince McMahon, who, of course, everybody knew, didn't know at the time he was the owner. He was just an announcer. He was a play-by-play announcer. He was the interview guy. I mean, Kane. I'll never forget Kane with that voice. With that voice box thing. I mean, whatever they're called. I always forget. Said that if he had lost the match, he would have set himself on fire. I mean, oh boy, man. You know, the background right there. So. Yeah, it was an electronic voice box. So basically, it was actually Mr. McMahon is the one who announced that the match would be a first blood match. So, man. So Kane, yeah, through that electronic voice box, said that if he had lost the match, he would set himself on fire. So, and of course, I almost forgot. Just does that, and if I lose, then I will set myself on fire. I mean, it wasn't exactly like that, but everybody knows, you know, that particular segment how Kane vowed to do if he had lost the match. But so, because we all know the story about, you know, Kane, the funeral home and everything. So, you know, it's interesting, like on like that segment when Paul Bearer told the story about Kane, about how Undertaker burned down the funeral home, but then in 2006 the whole May 19th storyline, yeah, how Kane says that particular mentions an individual who's, quote, more messed up than I am, like that, so that the imposter Kane, I think, like, the story was supposed to play that the imposter Kane was the one who actually set the funeral home on fire. So it caused a little bit of confusion, because at first you're like, I thought the Undertaker did it, but then it turns out this mysterious imposter Kane did it. The voice in Kane's head, the voice that kept saying May 19th in the arena speakers, saying it's happening again, it's happening again. Because you remember the May 19th storyline. You know, I think in the storyline, May 19th was actually the day that the funeral home in the Kane's background story, when the funeral home was burnt and his parents were killed. But also, I believe May 19th was also the day that See No Evil was released, if I'm correct. You know, Kane's film from from that year, so I don't know. It's just been too long. But I'm pretty sure that See No Evil was also released May 19th, but I guess they wanted to incorporate a story out of it, so yeah, Kane certainly had his freaky moments, but the May 19th storyline was actually an idea I've had for the show, and I'm sure I can still do it with a guest, but yeah, I mean, Kane's just had, been after storyline after storyline after storyline, and and Kane's had, Kane, pursued the world title for so long, over the years, and everybody wondered why they never put the belt on him, but everybody thought that Kane just was just the kind of guy, he was better off just chasing the title rather than having it. Although they did put the belt on him in 2010, and he held the title for about 150 days, I believe, something like that, around 5 6 months. So, he won the Money in the Bank briefcase and cashed it in that same night and became champion. So they did eventually put the title on Kane for quite a while, but I think, over the years, really, Kane was just better off chasing the title than having it. But I think, see, now it kind of seems that I'm kind of backing out what I said earlier about how Kane should have been champion for more than a day, but I think it just goes, how different things can be. But again, I mean, it's just how Kane went out over the years, and I will never forget when Kane unmasked and just basically became this dangerous, unstable character. Then, of course, we remember Team Hell No. I always say Team Hell No was basically the chance for Kane to be a child. I mean, it's the childish, basically, memories that Kane really never had in storyline. But anyway, but Kane in 1998, how he was emerging was great. I mean, eventually Kane was part of the Mr. McMahon's corporation, had that feud with DX. So yeah, and I think Kane even one time had an alliance with DX as well. So Kane had been through everything, and now, of course, Glenn Jacobs Kane is the mayor in Knox County in Tennessee. So yeah, Glenn Jacobs has done a lot, and his legacy to this day is still impactful, and it always will be. But the 1998, the first blood match, I mean, well, I should mention this. I mean, Kane wearing the mask, it would have made no sense for Kane to lose the match anyway. So and we all know that Mr. McMahon, that Vince and the WWF creative, they wanted to keep the belt on Stone Cold Steve Austin because he was the top guy at the time. So I guess they just thought that for this one particular moment, it would be better if he drops the belt in a first blood match after the Undertaker accidentally hit him attempting to get Mankind. So I mean, the way the match went, it made sense. So now if Stone Cold Steve Austin had been hit by Kane with a chair himself like that would have been a bad move. So again, as I mentioned, Mankind interferes. Undertaker tries to make the save. He tries to get Mankind with a chair. Mankind moved out of the way, and Undertaker accidentally hits Stone Cold Steve Austin, busted him open, and then the title changed hands and like that. So, but once again, I'm pretty solidified on the fact that the Kane's title reign in '98 should have been more than a day. I think honestly, him dropping the belt at the 1998 Survivor Series in a triple threat match with Stone Cold and the Undertaker, that would have been my way of doing business. But at the end of the day, it's all just merely my opinion. Ladies and gentlemen, as you all know, Ringside Chaos is available anywhere you get your podcasts. So here's what I need you to do: hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell. That way, I know for sure that you're not going to be missing out on any exciting upcoming content. Once again, thank you very, very much for joining me today. I'll see y'all next time. God bless all of you. Y'all stay safe, and y'all stay warm. God bless.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.